This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Kids and teens with disabilities may need extra assistance, not just in schools, but throughout the entire community. There are efforts being made in Butler County to ensure that special needs youth have access to the same facilities and services as their peers. Liberty Township, for example, is working to make its parks more accessible. And joining us to talk about the various disability inclusion efforts in Butler County are Liberty Township official Christine Matisik, Advocacy Coordinator for the Butler County Board of Developmental Disabilities, Connie Melman, President of the Liberty Township Parks, Kurt Feldman, and Executive Director of the Great Miami Valley YMCA, Damon Noach. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Glad to be here.
My pleasure.
Let's start off by talking about what's going on in the parks in Liberty Township. But first off, Kurt, how big's the park system in Liberty Township?
Well, our park system has about 11 operational parks, and proudly we have two parks that are fully accessible to special needs children. And it's great because it can allow these children to play alongside their conventional peers, and it just brings inclusion to all and allows them, you know, the free ability to play.
So which two of the parks have the improved access?
Dudley Memorial Park on Yankee Road, conveniently located just about 2.5 miles north of the brand-new Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center campus in Liberty Township. And then Reserves Park, located off the Grandin Ridge, which is off of a subdivision, but it's visually accessible from 129 in Butler County and easy to find. We've made some recent enhancements to that park as well.
Christina, what's at these parks? I think they're called I'm drawing a blank on this. I'm sorry. Let's see here. It's
Boundless.
Yes. That's it. Boundless. Explain that to me, what that is. Boundless Playground.
Well, it has no limits, basically. You know, you take a look at it, and in the Reserves Park, we have a soft surface, very comfortable surface for anyone to walk or ride on. And that way people can get to and from the apparatuses that they want to either swing on the swings or do some other activities that we have there in the park and everything. I'm going to let Kurt explain a little bit better the boundless part because he's more of the expert in that area. I started years ago, back about almost 20 years ago, in the parks and started putting some of these in, but they have improved drastically over the years. And I think Kurt has better experience since he is actually a parent who utilizes those for his children.
And that's where it really started my wife and I had the experience of my young son, Conrad, being able to play alongside other children in a community in another state. And we really wanted to bring that home to Liberty Township. And when we were able to enhance the design of the accessible playground, the so-called Boundless Playground, it was fantastic because it not only created a play environment for Conrad, it also improved the play environment for the conventional children alongside Conrad. They got to view my son Conrad as one of their peers, not somebody who was different. And they got to actually see him swing or see him roll onto the piece of playground equipment, in some cases with his service dog. And they loved it. And seeing the smiles on all their faces was really a heart-rending moment. And to be honest with you, conventional parents like this playground equipment too because they kind of find it challenging for their kids, and they also have improved sight lines, so they never really lose vision of their small children when they play.
So it's in two of the township's parks right now?
Yes.
That's great.
Okay. Well, where do you go with this in the future? I mean, are you adding this to other parks in the township?
As time goes on and the parks need updating, where we have active parks, I am fully confident that we will be taking a look at making sure that we upgrade. But we do, when we built Fort Liberty Playland, there's segments of Fort Liberty Playland that have the ability for accessibility, but again, they're just limited areas there. So, you know, you'll find different things. And also at Fort Liberty Playland, we recently had a bocce ball court put in through some help of others, whereby that will be able to be utilized by everyone, not just those of us who walk, but with our two legs.
Certainly, but so by those of us who roll.
Yes.
By four wheels, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Connie, tell us about the work that the Butler County Board of Developmental Disabilities is doing, how it's working to improve inclusion and access for those with disabilities.
Well, we work in all different areas to improve inclusion for people with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities. A few programs that we're currently working on, I don't know if you've heard of Best Buddies. It's an international organization. They concentrate on matching individuals with developmental disabilities and typical people for friendship in both middle school, high school, college, and citizen programs. And we are so excited that the state office has just opened up in Ohio to expand programming. We have an award-winning chapter at Miami University getting ready to open up a Talawanda High School chapter. And the thing I like about this inclusive program is that it brings two people to the table, both having something to offer. It's not a mentoring program. It's a friendship program. And both sides take a lot away from the experience. So we're looking to grow that program. We also have an advocacy program in the county that teaches individuals with disabilities to learn how to speak up for themselves in whatever way that they can. They're learning how to teach their peers. They're learning how to do leadership. They're going out and presenting in this community about how they want to be treated in a social situation or in a work situation. We also promote the opportunity to bring volunteers into work in our setting. We have lots of different things going on in the county that we're proud of.
How do you view the effort to make parks and recreational facilities more accessible? How important is that in this?
Well, in our programming settings, both for adults and children, sometimes we forget that adults like to go to the playground. I don't know the last time that you went down and sat on a swing and felt the air in your face, but if you're an individual that may have autism, it's such great stimulation and a place for them to go and just let loose. It's also a great way to meet maybe neighbors in their community, and it's a great way to let our community learn more about individuals with disabilities in a social setting where sometimes people are fearful the first time they meet somebody who has a disability, and it's not because they're afraid. It's more because they don't have the knowledge. And so when you're in a nice setting like that where everybody's just having a good time, it's a great way to provide interaction.
Mm-hmm. Kurt, have you noticed have adults been using the Boundless Playgrounds?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my son actually just turned 18. And what's unique about my participation on this panel today is I have a perspective on every entity here through my son. And that is certainly something that enhances the ability for young adults, where there's a lot of time there's some fall off. If there's nothing that's available for them, it enhances their ability to engage with the parks. And that's really the mission of the Parks Committee that I'm president of, is to help people in the community of all levels engage with their parks to enhance the engagement level. And this is not only enhancing the engagement level with the parks, it's also enhancing people's lives.
So, Connie, how many people – let's see, the board has been in existence since 1967, is that right?
Yes, we're just approaching our 50th anniversary.
Wow. How many people each year are you helping?
Well, we serve over 3,000 people in the Butler County area, and if you're talking about getting out on outings and using the parks as far as serving in that capacity, I don't know if you're familiar, there are a lot of day programs for adults once they get out of the high school realm, and then we also have preschool programs, and so we're serving a lot of people and their families in the county.
And over the decades that you've been in existence, what kind of impact do you think you've had on the lives of people with disabilities?
As an agency,
mm-hmm.
I think we've had a strong impact. I know Kurt was talking about the services that he receives through our support coordination. I've been in the business for a little over 25 years, and I think through education, we have certainly opened the eyes of families and community members about the capabilities of people with disabilities in our community as far as having the ability to volunteer in their community, the ability to work and be employed in their community, the ability to serve on boards in their community. So I think that's been through a lot of our education efforts through the agency.
Damon, what's your perspective on making parks and recreation facilities more accessible, and how is the why working to boost that?
Well, first and foremost, let me thank everyone on the panel, because the work that's been done for many years has set the stage for the why to really enhance other collaborations with parks, with other agencies like Butler County, as well as Cincinnati Children's Hospital, ABC Pediatric Therapy, Joe Nuxhall Miracle League Field. So, you know, the great thing about the why is part of our mission statement is for all, and part of our passion is making sure that we create opportunities, whether they're in our facilities or in collaboration with others around town. Those are great ways for not only individuals with disabilities to interact, but great ways for families to build relationships and the connectivity that they have through getting that experiential learning. You know, talked about, Connie mentioned going to a playground as an adult and feeling the breeze through your hair. You know, those are great opportunities where families can get to become close friends and build relationships that they can rely on and be additional resources and support for one another, as well as the exposure that they get to others in their community to, you know, build that inclusive spirit, build the mentality that we hope years and generations from now, the relationships that each of us have the unique ability to see forming in our own organizations, our own walks of life, continue, so we have another generation of folks who will continue the work that so many folks in our community have started. So,
tell me about the Miracle League, which you're also involved with, Joe Nuxhall's sure. Miracle League. That's a fascinating story. A great effort there.
It is, and again, it's just a reflection of the community coming together to support one another. The Joe Nuxhall Miracle League Fields opened in 2012. And from my involvement with the YMCA facilitates the youth league programming at the Joe Nuxhall Miracle League Field. So we've had a great opportunity to serve over 400 families in the last 4 years to be able to take part in programming and in youth baseball opportunities that maybe they'd never had the opportunity to before, just from an accessibility standpoint. One of the things I always tell folks is as proud as we are of the growth and the skill development of our players, you know, with accessibility, this has also created the advocacy and the awareness piece where we do have school-age peers, classmates, folks from Sunday school classes, businesses, organizations, civic organizations that come out and serve as volunteers to help make sure that each child has the greatest experience at the field and in playing the game of baseball.
And then you're talking about the buddy system that the Miracle League uses.
Yeah. So, you know, part of the Miracle League program is that each child who participates, we want to ensure that they have at least one volunteer, what we call buddy, to make sure that not only are they safe throughout the game, but they're able to help facilitate any area of the game, and whether that be physical or socially, to make sure that player has the greatest opportunity to be successful. So, you know, in the last 4 years, we've had an enormous amount of support from the community in having over 800 registered volunteers who have come out and assisted to ensure that our kids have the greatest experience. The great thing about that is those are the folks that are building those relationships that 20, 30, 40 years from now, we hope will continue, and they will take on the role of advocates and lead not only the folks that they're connected with now, but the next generation of individuals with special needs and in our community and our community leaders in making sure that we create those opportunities for all.
Connie, that goes back to what you were saying about building those relationships.
It does. Going back to building strong relationships in the community is very important. And I also want to mention, when Damon was talking about the youth league, I don't know if you're aware, there's an adult league out there as well at the Joe Nuxhall Miracle League Field. And they play on Wednesday and Friday nights and have volunteers as well. And if you're looking for something fun to do and just to come out and see people having a good time enjoying the game of softball or / baseball, it's a great way to spend an evening and to meet some wonderful individuals.
And Mark, go ahead.
And Mark, you know, kind of brings up a great point, too, with the adult leagues, you know, creating opportunities for them to be on boards, for them to have the opportunity to make an impact of their own. One of the greatest impact stories that we have are the number of adults who participate in therapeutic recreations leagues who also serve as volunteers with our youth leagues. And you know, in speaking with many of them, you know, their passion is they want to be able to create an experience for a child that maybe they themselves didn't get the opportunity to experience as a youth. So very, very powerful stuff and very impactful for our community.
Christine and Kurt, when you're coming up with the designs for these accessible recreational areas, do you work with a designer to do this?
That was actually very important to meet the 2010 Americans with Disabilities Act standards for boundless playgrounds. We did have to work with a specific designer, and my wife, Kristen, and I actually had significant input towards the final layout of the park. So that is, from 2010 on, you'll see special types of swings and gliders and soft surfaces. So it is very important to work with and make a very good partner out of that supplier. And I would just like to echo what Damon was talking about. The Joe Nuxall Miracle League is an incomparable experience for anyone who's ever been involved, either as a spectator or a player or even a buddy with those kids. So thank you, Damon, and thank you, Kim Nuxall, for all you have done for our children.
Hey, Kurt, what kind of, you say the kids really enjoy this, and what kind of reaction do you get from their moms and their dads as far as, boy, it's great that this is here. I mean, is that what you're hearing from them?
It's, you know, and I get a little emotional with it myself because there's sometimes not a lot of hope when you're a special needs parent. Sometimes you're challenged on a daily basis to the point where you don't know whether you're going to be able to turn back. But when you see your child able to, you know, engage and be a child or be a young adult and have just a smile on their face, you know, it just gives you, you know, hope that tomorrow's going to be a better day, and perhaps that today's never really been better itself.
So, Connie, what do you think needs to be done? What do you see out in the future as far as continuing to improve access and inclusion for people with disabilities? What needs to be done?
My personal feelings are that there needs to be a sense of the community coming together, families with and without kids with disabilities, on an education perspective, be more open to having kids participate, even on leagues that may not be titled for kids with disabilities, like your local soccer leagues, and families just working together, families stepping up to the plate and saying, I'm going to volunteer with my child or their older sibling. They're going to get out there and work together. I think just people being a little bit more understanding. Probably the hardest phone call I get, and I probably get one a month from a family, and it seems to be mostly of that teenage year where kids are transitioning from, you know, junior high is hard for everybody, let's face it. Mm-hmm. And I'll have a mom call up and say to me, my daughter or my son, they don't have any friends. So I think it's just the community coming together a little bit more and just working on the process of including other people.
Yeah. Damon, what do you think as far as things you'd like to see in the future for enhancing inclusion and access?
You know, I would echo everything that Connie said and then some. You know, the great thing about working for an organization like the Y, whose mission is to serve all, is that we have opportunities that already exist in our neighborhood for individuals with and without disabilities. Our wellness centers are equipped, and we have policies in place that, you know, with parents who are willing to assist, we would encourage and do have several individuals with disabilities of various ages that take part in the wellness center, that use exercise equipment, that are taking part in group exercise and water fitness classes, as Connie mentioned, that are part of our youth sports leagues with soccer and basketball and t-ball and even beyond the Miracle League experience. So I think that is probably the educational awareness that we just need to continue to create. But, you know, beyond that, too, is just getting involved. I know we work with several special needs organizations across the tri-state area, and you know, they're always looking for volunteers. And the great thing about volunteering is that A lot of times you can jump into situations where you don't need experience. You just need the passion for serving others. And I think that's the awareness, too, that I'd like to share from the why side, is that we want folks to get involved.
Connie, Christine, Kurt, and Damon, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's been a great time.
Liberty Township official Christine Matisik, advocacy coordinator for the Butler County Board of Developmental Disabilities, Connie Mailman, president of the Liberty Township Parks, Kurt Feldman, and executive director of the Great Miami Valley YMCA, Damon Noach.